Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your bearded host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. We're happy to have you on whenever you're listening. If it's nighttime, daytime, whenever time, thanks for tuning in. Thorny, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good, man. It's been a whirlwind of a summer, and I'm trying to plan a last-second trip to Europe and Ireland. It's not last second. We just have not been planning it. So that's still going on over here. So it's a little bit chaotic, but I'm excited to go to Ireland and we'll see. Maybe I'll listen to our podcast in Ireland so we can get a little statistic in Ireland. How's that sound?
I know you're kind of putting me in a pickle. You're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we have a couple pokers in the fire about who's going to help me out, basically do this thing. Who's going to drive this ship?
Yeah, we're looking for a guest podcaster for probably two episodes. If anybody has any leads or any interest, I suppose. We can hold some tryouts maybe fully. I don't know. But yeah, I'll be gone hanging out in Germany, Ireland, Dublin, and I'll be coming back. I probably won't be able to watch the games. So I'll be coming back like no clue what has happened to the Bobcats. Well, I'll follow the scores, but I won't have watched or consumed the content that I normally do. It's a 10-year anniversary trip. I'm not sure I can sneak away for a few hours on a Saturday in Munich. Watch some Bobcat football, but
well, it's going to be at a different time, so you're going to have to figure this out. There's a guy on Bobcat Nation. I can't remember who it is. It's the guy who has Dr. House in his profile picture.
Yeah,
I think he lives overseas.
I think there's a few. So I don't know. It's like 8 or 9 hours. So if the game's at 1 Montana time, maybe after when it goes to bed, I'll sneak up and like turn on the game at like 10 p.m.
Dude, you have to. You're a Bobcat fan. Like, what else are you going to do?
Go stream it from the Hofbräu House in Munich.
There you go. Make some new Bobcat friends.
There we go.
Over Germany. It'd be awesome. Right on, man. Cool. Well, you know, summer's winding down over here. About to start teaching again, and everything's going swell. You came by Casa de Foley the other weekend, and we got to exchange pleasantries and... you gave me some beer, so I'll talk about that here in a moment. But yeah, it was good to see you and your family. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was nice. We don't get to do that nearly enough. And almost tried a live podcast, but we were both too tired.
Gotcha. Once we get the gaggle of our kids down for sleep, it was I think that's going to pass.
That's me every night, man. As soon as the kids are down, I feel like, whew. So it's like all the energy drains out of my body. And I'm like, all right, Netflix zombie mode time. But that's what makes this podcast challenging sometimes. But we're here, start of a new season. I feel like this is the first one we're really kind of going to sink our teeth into some of the stuff that I think we're excited about to talk about. And I can't wait.
All right. Show rundown. Thorny and I thought we'd split up the offense and defense into two separate episodes. So we're going to focus on the offense, and we'll go by position and just kind of talk a little bit about that. Maybe some things that we're kind of excited about. I wrote some buyer sells, you know, bringing back that.
Bringing it back. I love it.
Yeah. I got some buyer sells crafted. And then we had a lot of Golden Coulee questions, and that's been pretty cool. I'm excited for that. Thorny, I've been sending out some coolies and stickers and magnets. We had a couple new Ko-fi supporters, and I want to say, you know, thank you guys for supporting us on Ko-fi. And we actually have some really good news as well. We have a new sponsor. We can't release who that is yet, an anonymous sponsor, but we're super stoked to have kind of like a handshake deal right now. But
anonymous benefactor.
you'll be hearing more about that here shortly. So good things for the CatCast.
Yep. It's all looking up, and it's time to talk some football, man. I'm excited.
Jordan, before we get going in though, tonight I was at a brewery with another friend of mine, and a guy walks in with a Montana State shirt. I don't know if you get like this, but like when I see a guy wearing a Bobcat shirt, like I definitely want to lock eyes and be like, and the guy is like looking at me, like gives me a weird look, like, why are you looking at me, dude? And like, I didn't approach him or anything, but I'm like, man, I want a Bobcat. You and I, man, go Cats. Yeah. He didn't pick up on it. He just thought I was a weird, creepy dude looking at him in the corner.
Stop does that staring happen to at you? One. No,
are you that guy?
I mean, I'll try and get someone's attention and say, go Cats. I'm not sure I necessarily stare at him without the intention of actually saying anything. If that's what you're saying. I wear a lot of Bobcat stuff too, so chances are I'll be wearing a hat at the time anyway.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have any cat gear on, and I didn't have my R&R hat or nothing. So it was just the creeper I was the creeper. I was the guy looking at the dude in the Bobcat shirt, just wanted to say go Cats. And he was like, why are you looking at me? So yeah.
I have said go Cats a few times out here, and people like, what? Like, don't even realize wearing like a Bobcat shirt. They're like, oh yeah. It's like, cool. Good talk. Have a good day, sir.
All right. Okay. Well, let's get into our first segment. What's in your beer? What's in your golden coolie?
What's in your golden coolie?
What's in your beer?
What's in your beer? Well, beer. Beer's in my beer. All right. I did come back from Montana with a bunch of alcohol like I normally do, but I'm going to save that for later in the season because I got this one couple weeks ago in preparation for kind of our first kickoff episode. It is the Ziggy Zoggy Party Beer by Silver City Brewery, and I got it because party on, man. Season started and the summer is just winding down. It's got a big huge sun on it. It's a good send off to summer, into fall, into football season. Ziggy Zoggy, which oi oi oi, I think that's from like the Man Show. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. It's just a nice light lager session beer. It's good.
Where's Silver City out of?
Oh man, you had to ask me that, didn't you? I was looking at it and I couldn't find it easily. I want to say it's Seattle.
Ah, okay.
Bremerton, there it is. Which is basically Seattle.
Okay, cool. I'm having one that you brought me. Phillipsburg Brewing, Otterwater. It's actually the first time I've ever had an Otterwater.
Oh, nice. It.
And it's a session pale ale, 4.5% of P-Berg right there. So, yeah, thanks for bringing it.
Yeah.
It's one of those cool little cans that's you get at like baseball games that's like a screw top. You know, kind of
the ones they give you at hockey games, you can't throw glass bottles onto the hockey rink.
Do people do that?
No, because I'm sure that hockey fans drink and throw bottles at each other. That's why all the bottles in hockey games are like aluminum or plastic.
Gosh. What's wrong with people?
I noticed that at the Helena Bighorns games, man. That's minor league hockey there. And this is like a decade ago.
Do they play like the Ice Dogs in Bozeman? Is that league?
I don't think they're in the same like division. I don't remember.
How many
remember,
divisions
though.
Are there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Right. I mean, they're both like junior, max out at like 20 years old or something. I don't remember. I don't remember, man.
Throwing bottles at a hockey game, I think. That just sounded wild to me.
I don't know. Hockey games get rowdy, buddy.
Yeah, I guess they do. Used to go to a lot of them with my dad when I was a little boy, but can't say I've ever been to one out here in Spokane. We have the Spokane Chiefs. It's a kind of a big deal. People love the Spokane Chiefs. I've never gone.
You should go.
Yeah, I should try one out. All right. Let's get into the Bobcats. That's what we're going to talk about, man. I don't know about you. I hate and love this time of year. It's like the longest. Feels like Sunday all month long. A month is Sunday. So you're just waiting for the next day. You're like, oh, come on. Let's just go. All the sports talk, you know, and you're just like trying to mine for a camp talk, which gets a little boring after a while. You're like, there's so much you can only get excited for about fall camp. Although I want to give a huge shout out to Victor Flores and the 406 Montana crew posting all those videos and all the interviews they do after practice. Those are like, when those come on, like Bobcat Nation, And when I get to see them and or wherever they're posted, I eat those up. I love those. And they're fun because you get to know the players. Like, that's the first time I got to hear Lavelle Price talk and, you know, Austin Davis and Ananya Jr. So we're learning some new characters, some old characters as well that, you know, Victor is, you know, putting the shine on over there. And I just want to say, good job, Mr. Flores. It's good stuff.
Yep. And I've been appreciating the position breakdown they've been doing, writing some articles. I think Braden Shaw, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, has been doing some of those too. So appreciate the good work those guys do, boots on the ground, because, you know, we're not there. If you don't know, we don't live in Montana. We live in Washington. So we don't get to go to practices, see these things, talk to players, talk to coaches. So we're like everybody else. We're just consuming this from afar, and we really appreciate what those guys do, and give some bones to the fans to tide us over until the game start.
Have you noticed they've been practicing basically adjacent to Roski?
Yeah. Is that a new thing?
I've never seen him
do that before. I've seen that before either. I don't know. Like, are they trying to preserve the other field for when the weather gets bad? Like, what's the strategy there?
No clue. Yeah.
Just to change our scenery, I guess.
Well, I do know there is like a practice, like a artificial turf field over there as well. I've seen that in the last couple of years.
Really?
But it looks like they're practicing on grass, so it just kind of boggles my mind. Like, they have like the, that's where we used to do intramurals. Like, do you ever play intramural?
Like, yeah, I mean, I remember there being like baseball fields over there, or that's where like the rugby team would play. Remember that kind of stuff happening over there. Lacrosse team, which is a lot bigger than it was when I was in college. It was like just a tiny little thing in its infancy, but it, yeah, cool. Well, that's exciting, I guess.
All right.
New practice location.
Sweet. Yeah. If anybody's got any information on that, just let us know. Just curious why they're practicing in a different spot. It'd be interesting to know. All right. You just want to go by position.
Yeah, let's start with that, and then kind of give our overall thoughts on the offense as a whole, and then maybe end it with some Golden Cooley questions, which we have a decent number. So appreciate everyone submitting some questions for this.
All right.
Let's try to leave room for that.
So Montana State just posted a depth chart recently, or at least they put one out in their Big Sky prospectus that they came out with at Spokane over here. Start with the first one on the top of the list, left tackle. Who would you assume would be the starting left tackle going into the year?
Well, I was just reading the Bozeman Chronicle's article about that. It seems like it's still majorly in flux.
Yeah.
So is it like JT Reed?
No. So starting left tackle, at least on this depth chart, which I don't believe. I still think it's going to be Rush Reimer. But they have Connor Moore, the 6'5".
That's
300
right.
pound freshman with the beautiful chin. He's starting at left tackle. And we've heard, you know, really great things from Connor Moore. Vim has talked glowingly about him. We got to see him in the spring game. And, you know, he was one of the guys that I remember watching on TV. I was like, man, that guy kind of, you know, he just looks the part in many ways. Obviously, that's the only time I've got to see him play. So for him to be, you know, number one on the depth chart, I don't know, man. It just feels like that's Rush Reimer's position. Like, I think if Rush Reimer wants to go into the NFL, and I think he has NFL aspirations, left tackle is where his body type fits.
Perhaps, but I think some of this has been changed because of Cole Sain's injury. Is it a depth chart you're looking to have Cole Sain penciled in there? Because he got hurt.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the news. So that caused some reshuffling a little bit.
Okay. But Cole Sain didn't have anything to do with the left side. He's penciled in as a backup center. So I don't know. I'm just saying, I think Rush Reimer is going to start left tackle.
It's possible. I think a lot of it is them are just trying to get their best five and trying to figure out the best spots for them, or just getting them some position versatility. But
that's a good point.
I hope Reimer is left tackle, because I think he is probably the best left tackle on the team. So I hope that's where he ends up.
Well, another way to think about it too is Reimer got some guard play in spring ball, so he has had some reps over there. Now, I'm not sure Connor Moore has. He might just been strictly just at tackle. So he might be that good. You're like, well, we need him out there, yep, and we'll just bump Rush in at left guard. Maybe Rush has never played right guard. I'm not sure. We talked about that last episode, how that could be like not an easy switch for someone going left side, right side. So that, I think maybe Rush is just a key. He's like, yeah, maybe I can play right guard or left guard. And we're just going to go with Connor Moore out there. Anyways.
Well, real quick here, left tackle is such a different position at Montana State, though. We don't just sit there and do drop back passing.
Yeah.
Like once in a while, but we're also passing from like quarterback option handoff to another quarterback, mm-hmm, and stuff. So it's a little bit different. Probably a lot more mobility and some different kinds of things required at left tackle at Montana State. Although the same article I read talked about, you know, the evolving offensive scheme at Montana State. They're trying to get a little bit better at pass protection. So, because I know that's a big focus of the preseason offseason is to kind of evolve, you know, polish that passing game, take it to the next level. Because I think a lot of Bobcat fans think that's kind of what needs to happen to the offense. And we can get to that at the end of it. But I think the offensive line is still a work in progress because of part of that and because of the injury and because there's just lots of talented dudes. You just got to find a spot for them. What a great problem to have, man. Like, what a good looking offensive line. Rush Reimer, Marcus Ware is going to be back after looking really good as promising as a freshman last year before being hurt last year. Justice Perkins coming back at the center there. And then Connor Price, I think, is the one that is going to break through, like you said. And who am I missing here?
Connor Price? Connor Moore?
Connor Moore. Jeez, what am I talking about? Connor Moore. I'm missing
JT somebody. Reed.
JT Reed. So that is a solid one. And then you got Omar Abedian coming back after having some really good flashes as a freshman there. And then who am I missing here? I'm looking at this list now. Now I'm starting to like realize I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kettle. Jacob Kettles, guy who played a lot. That's who it was. The guy played a lot last year and started.
Fleischman too.
Started. Like, we have lots of guys who started at various times throughout the year last year, and they're not going to start this year just because there are not enough starts or not enough spots. It's such a good problem to have, even with Cole Sain injured.
Do you think Justice Perkins is going to be our starting center?
Yes.
I do too.
I don't necessarily love it because Brent Vegan's talking about wanting to be more powerful. How that the offensive line was able to showcase their athleticism last year, but they need to be able to rely on their power a little bit more at times. I mean, we saw that against South Dakota State, Exhibit A, and I'm just not sure Justice Perkins is that. Can he be from that just not real big stature?
Yeah.
So that's my only concern with Perkins is if they really want to go smash mouth football, they need to pick up 2 yards and they just want to run between the tackles. Is he the guy? They were rotating other guys in at center in the camp.
But during the Ash years, we had a center that was smaller, but he was really good. Was it Samson?
Yes. Yep. Sean. What's
his first name?
Sean Samson. Because Holden Samson is on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Got another Samson.
Well, yeah, he's backup left guard.
And he was really good too, but also really not a power between the tackle running team either, though.
Yeah. You know, the center really has to be really good at, communication. And that's one thing I've heard with Al Johnson is he's really working on the communication with the guys because with pass pro, you have to be able to, you know, pass things off essentially and communicate with the stunts and all the stuff the defensive line does. So, I don't know, maybe that's a strong suit for him.
Yeah, could be. That's the big question. You just mentioned it, though. Brian Armstrong's gone.
Yeah.
Al Johnson, then the new, is he the run game coordinator as well? He's a new offensive line coach at the very least. Because Brian Armstrong was the run game coordinator too, I believe. But a new position coach at the very least, is that a big deal for this talented group? I don't think it is. If it was something where you had kind of this hodgepodge group and you had a new line coach that had to try and figure out something to do with them, that I could be a little concerned, but such a talented group. It's like, it's like an embarrassment of riches for Al Johnson to work with, who was a very good offensive lineman himself at Wisconsin. So there might be some adjustments and some learning, but overall, I'm just not concerned about that aspect of the offense. I'm not concerned about any part of the offensive line.
No, I think that's going to be a strong suit for us. I mean, our second team would be a top tier offensive line.
I think they'd be pretty good. They'd probably be better than like some teams starting five for sure. Anything else you want to say on the offensive line?
I think there. Here's a word for you. They're going to have some fungibility, which means really that they're going to have to be able to insert themselves when they need to, you know, take some reps at different spots is what I'm trying to say. So JT Reed could slide over to center. You know, you got Omar Abidian in right guard. I'm excited to see Marcus Ware out on the right side, that right tackle. We've heard great things about guys like Jacob Kettles and Titan Fleischman. Those are big body dudes, you know, anchoring the bookends over there in both left and right tackle. So, like I said, we have an embarrassment of riches at offensive line. I just keep going back in my brain. Like when we were in school, like watching Jason McIndoe's offensive line, he would get like 6'1 guys that were like 190 pounds coming into the program, 210 pounds. You just see these guys sitting in Miller Dining Hall just eating like 12 eggs, you know, with plates of pasta and chicken and just trying to bulk up by junior year where they're at least like 250, 260. We don't have that problem anymore. We got some big dudes that are just graders out there. But they're not just graders. They're athletic. They're tough. And, you know, nasty too. I like that. So, you know, it all comes down to our line play, right? I mean, this whole thing boils down, if you distill everything last year down to like what we need to improve upon, this comes to it. Offensive line play, defensive line play. And that'll be the narrative throughout the year.
Yep, the O-line does have to get better in pass protection. And they do have to get better at moving bodies in like just in a straight, not zone read type scenario where there's heads on, helmet on a helmet, hat on a hat. They got to do a little bit better job moving the bodies. But we're talking like comparing ourselves to the best of the best in our division right now.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question, like kind of a buy or sell. Last year, I think we averaged like 316 yards per game. Do you think we'll be close to that?
I think 316 rushing yards a game.
Yeah, it's like something like that.
I think we'll be less.
Yeah, me too. I think we're going to try probably pass more. That's at least the narrative coming out of camp. To be seen.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants the passing game to get better, but that's just taking snaps away from the running game. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. But I also just think we have a much tougher schedule.
Sure.
We're not rushing for 450 yards against Cal Poly, who doesn't know how to do anything on defense. So there'll be some stouter defenses. So that alone, I think, will keep us a rushing per game average is a little bit lower. It'll still lead the league, though. I would bank that.
Okay. I'm with you on that. All right. Let's talk about the quarterback.
Oh, man. I so badly want Sean Chambers and Tommy Mellott to like play 90% of the games that they are intended to play in. I put that caveat on there because there could be packages where they're not in the game or whatever, but I want them to be healthy and I want to see truly for a season what it looks like with them both playing at the same time. It's been like one or the other. There's been very few times that we've been able to see what House Wright's got cooking up there for the Tommy Mellott, Sean Chambers package at the same time. I want that.
Yeah. Man, I'm really worried about Tommy Mellott getting another concussion. That's like, it just keeps eating at me. And I didn't want to put it on air because, but that's how I feel. Really, when it comes down to it, I'm like, I'm super stoked for Tommy Mellott and Sean Chambers. But we've said this before, guys who get hurt. And with Tommy, with his head injuries, having two of them last year, I don't know how, I mean, I don't know how this compounds, but it seems like they come easier after you get one and two. We're a season removed from it, but you know, he smacks his head and it just makes you a little bit worried that this could have some lasting consequences for Tommy going forward.
I was watching one of those Taylor Housewright videos he was putting out for that coaching camp or whatever. And he had mentioned that he doesn't like quarterbacks sliding in college. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught that part. It's like complete. It's like they don't protect you the same way they do in the pros. All you're doing is opening yourself up for injury. I'm teaching my guys not to do that. I mean, that I think that's one of the ones where he got annihilated at Eastern Washington. He slid feet first and the guy kind of like speared him and then banged his head off the ground.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, Tommy needs to learn how to take hits better and just get down.
Yeah.
You don't need to slide. You need to dive. Just dive forward, get down. Just get down. It's over in college football.
Well, then he takes on tackles and then he twists himself so his back is falling backwards, and then that's when you slam your head. And so
he's got to learn. Yeah, you're running backwards. One guy can just grab you and just rip you and toss you to the ground. So
yep.
what did House Wright say? Like, get down, score, or I don't know. He had some little clever saying about what he can do, but I think that's the biggest thing. The quarterback room is health, and I'm not so concerned about the passing game all of a sudden becoming prolific. If it gets better, great. I think if it's exactly like it was last season, I think that's probably pretty good. I hope it takes a step forward. But against South Dakota State, for example, if we have Sean Chambers and Tommy Lott the whole time, it's a different game. It doesn't help the defense getting steamrolled. But you saw we scored a touchdown, the first drive of the game when both guys were healthy. And then Chambers got hurt. And then it was kind of changed the whole concept of the game after that. So a lot, when we get to those elite defenses deep in the playoffs, it's like you need both guys. And is that a good thing or a bad thing, I guess? Because can Tommy Lott on his own win a national championship? Can Sean Chambers on his own win a national championship? Or do you need them both?
Do you need a passing game?
I mean, I think, like I said, I think what we had last year could win a national championship.
See, I'm gonna disagree with that. I think there needs to be an improvement in the passing game to win the national championship.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. We just never really got to see. You know, it was a bad situation in Brookings for a couple of reasons. Chambers going down, number one, and then just the field conditions really limited our running game. So then, yes, you had to rely more on the passing game, and that's where, you know, they had a hard time. They had a hard time moving the ball, and Tommy got rocked in that game.
Yeah, you suffered a concussion, it looked like. I mean, we're speculating there, but...
You're speculating.
I'm speculating, yeah. Okay.
So injuries are going to most likely happen. Who's our third-string quarterback, and how much time do you think they get?
It's Reed, isn't it?
Well, is it? JT Reed was going to be the guy last year. He got hurt. But has Chance Wilson come along enough to get himself into that conversation? Because Sean Austin would have been in the conversation last year, into the transfer portal. He's out. So it's basically Lott Chambers, and then I think JT Reed and...
No, it's Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed. How many Reeds?
The big dude, 6'6". Like, he looks like...
Yeah, he's more of a gunslinger guy. He looks kind of like Bauman. Casey Bauman did.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe like that or like a Tucker Rovig.
Yeah.
Chance Wilson's like that dual threat from Oklahoma. He was in here for spring ball, early enrollee into the program. He looked pretty raw when we saw him like in the spring game, but to be expected. I think one of my friends within the program says, you know, they're pretty high on him. They have a lot of hope for Chance Wilson. But my guess, Ryan, is the first guy off the bench is going to be Jordan Reed.
Okay. I mean, he looked pretty good. What we got to see out of him last year in the brief amount of times he got to play. And I know the coach and staff was high on him, and he looked good in the like fall brawl, whatever, spring, like, you know, the
fall brawl.
We called it COVID, right? During the COVID year. Was he playing in the fall brawl? I don't remember, but whatever scrimmages we saw him in, he looked good. So I think we'll be pretty good there. But we'll need a third guy, I think.
The thing with that is, like, if you go with Sean and go Tommy, and then you go to Jordan, Jordan's such a more typical quarterback, mm-hmm. like a pro-style quarterback. And so the feel of the game just feels a lot different. Like, last year when we brought in Sean Austin, Sean could do both. Sean was like Tommy Light to me. Like, he had good legs. He was a better passer. Like, he could sling it around. So it didn't feel like we had to adjust the offense all that much. I'm not sure with Jordan Reed.
Well, that's
Jordan Reed looks more like a passer to me.
Yeah, that's scrambling. That's what Chance Wilson would do. But if he's not there yet,
yeah,
then you read your guy and you gotta. As I understood it, they had packages planned for Reed last year, even with a healthy Malott, healthy Chambers. I think they were still going to bring him in and use him. Have three quarterbacks on the field, man. We've talked about this. Just go for it. Why not?
Let's have four.
Let's do it.
Let's do
everybody.
Let's have four.
Let's just line up Chance Wilson at wide receiver. Reed takes a snap. Tommy's the running back and tight end Sean Chambers. Why happen, not? Man.
Why not?
Let's you could do all it. Sorts of crazy motion things with that. So anyway, quarterback. Yeah. I mean, I do agree that the passing game probably does need to be a little bit better than it was last year. I just don't think it needs to be a substantial upgrade like some people are thinking, especially if that means it's taken away from the prolific running game. I mean, you can turn the ball over a lot more easily when you throw the ball.
Well, and I'm going to end it with this. Like, when we get down to the North Dakota States, South Dakota States, and they've taken away our run game because they're just still bigger and stronger, we have to go to something. We have to go to something. And in the games that we've lost to those guys, we've been blown out. We haven't even kept it close. I saw some stat today, like out of the five or six last times we played the Dakota schools, we've won one and lost five. And each of those five losses, we just got our asses kicked. So you have to be able to do something else besides Jeff Choate, run the ball, you know, kind of mentality.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The results speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working out. I mean, we did beat South Dakota State last year in the semis in Bozeman. But Tommy Ball, what did he have, like 30-some-odd carries in that game? I mean, that's just not a recipe for winning a national championship.
That better not be the recipe for this year.
And that defense was elite, because that was Troy Anderson and Daniel Hardy. Last year's defense was anything but elite.
This is not the defense episode, Thorny.
Nope.
Let's get into this. Nope. All right. Talk about the running back. This is hard.
This is right crazy, here. Man. This is a listening to or just reading comments and about Brent Vegan talking about how much more healthy the running back room is right now and how much deeper it is than at any point last year. It's got to get you excited because the offensive line is going to be better. Most likely the running back room is going to be even better too.
You know those Wheel of Fortune kind of things? You could like create a Wheel of Fortune with all the running backs in the running back room. You could spin that and just say, all right, whoever lands, you're getting most snaps and you'd be completely fine.
You would. But number one, it's easy to run behind that line. But number two, we got some guys.
Yeah.
We got some guys. Let's run down who is returning and who we got. We got Lane Sumner coming back.
Senior
year. The only one on the roster, or is Elliot a senior now?
No, he's a junior.
Seems like he's been here a long time. So we got Lane Sumner, Elijah Elliott, the new running back from Wisconsin, Julius Davis. And then we have, take it here from here, because I'm not looking
at Jared White.
Thank you. I'm coming from memory here. Jared White.
Garrett Kuhn. He's a sophomore. Scottrie Humphrey. Who is, he's got a lot of media play early on.
Yeah, he's turning some heads.
Mm-hmm. He's from Seattle. Adam Jones, the Missoula Sentinel.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then there is one more. I think it's Kuhn's brother?
Yeah, there is another Kuhn.
Yeah, so.
It's crazy, though. Like, I've forgotten when I was reading the article in the Chronicle about the running back room, I had forgotten we were basically down to Elijah Elliott last year. There was, like, a couple games, like, there was, like, literally nobody else. That's why Marquis Johnson came into running back, because we had nobody else, because Kuhn got hurt, Sumner got hurt, Elliott was the only guy who stayed healthy all year. Jared White, like, broke his leg or whatever, like, in the second or third game against, like, McNeese State, maybe. He was looking really good. Like, all right, this guy's going to be the next Isaiah Fonse. Well, never mind. He's hurt. So at one point, man, we were just on fumes in the running back room. It was crazy. And
we still led the nation in rushing.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, when your quarterbacks account for like half of your rushing yards, like I'm making that stat up, but they account for a lot of it. you know, that's not quite as glaring because they're such a big part of the rushing attack, but absolutely crazy how much healthier we seem to be right now. And obviously that's not going to last. There's going to be some attrition. Guys are going to get hurt, miss time, get dinged up, but we got like four or five guys who can go for 100.
Oh, easily. I mean, Thorny, you could get 50 yards back behind that line.
Hey, now. Hey. You're not on Twitter. Good old Jacque Allen made a post like just a couple days ago about like dudes really be out there thinking they can get like 10 yards in a game or something. He's like, bring back Joes versus Pros. Do you remember, did you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
So just be careful with that. I can get 50 yards. Stuff right there. But yeah, I mean, it does seem like, you know, with the holes they open up, like if you just got any speed at all and you know where to go, you should be able to get some yards. But we got some guys, man. I'm really excited. Elliott, I think, is going to take yet another step. He might be the most physically gifted of the group, at least developed right now. Sumner is going to be the dude, man. That guy's shifty, powerful. He's good out of the backfield. He can make guys miss. And then I'm really excited to see what Julius Davis can do from Wisconsin. Is he going to take over the starting position? I don't think so, but he's going to be a guy who's going to get some carries and do some things.
Having that many guys worries me. I mean, you'd be like, why are you worried about that? It's just like keeping them engaged, you know? Everybody wants to be the alpha male. Everybody wants to rock when you're running back. There's only so many carries that you're going to get. And so being frustrated on the sideline when you're putting all the work in, how do you crack that when you have probably like 10 guys in that room? Maybe not quite 10, but holy cow. I mean, how do you keep engaged?
I feel like it may be kind of cliche, but I think that's kind of what the team knows that they're there for, and they've bought into that. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think if you're recruited to Montana State at this point and you've been on the team for a year or two and you haven't transferred out, like Isaiah Afonso, like why did Afonso transfer? That we may never know. But if you're still here and you were recruited here, you know that we run the ball, but we don't have a bell cow. And if that's not for you, go somewhere else. So I think the team has bought into it. I mean, people were so concerned with Sean Chambers transferred in. Like, why is he transferring in to be a backup? That guy just wants to play football, man. He wants to be on a winning team. He wants to help his team. He's an ultimate team player. And I feel like we got a lot of those in the running back room, too.
Yeah. Okay. I'll rest on that. Let's talk about the receivers. And then we'll get into the Golden Cooley questions, because we got a lot of good ones.
Don't forget the Alaskan Assassin and Trayton Pickering.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we'll get to them.
Yeah, tight ends. But we could mention the specialist, but I don't know. It'd be
Let's put them in with the defense, maybe.
Okay, sounds good.
Just to save on time a little bit, because I do have some things I need to get done after this episode here tonight. All right.
Sound.
Wide receiver, man. Some questions here. Willie Patterson gone to the NFL, not NFL Europe. That's not a thing anymore. Some sort of European football league, scoring touchdowns, making little highlight clips on Twitter. That's pretty cool. But Willie Patterson's gone. Ravi Alston's gone. A lot of the production in the wide receiver room is gone. Cleavan Thomas returns, and then we got a couple of new guys fighting for the spot. Lanyada Alexander transfer from UW. Big 12, Big 10, UW. They're not. They weren't.
That's
obviously
weird.
When
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird to say. Okay. And then Ty McCullough, transfer from Colorado State, who sounds very much kind of like a Sean Chambers type. Why he's coming here, just like reading his interviews and stuff, the questions he's been asked, he seems like he's pretty bought into just wants to play, wants to win. And Cleveland Thomas was interviewed by Victor Flores, and he was saying like Ty McCullough might be the straight line fastest guy on the team. And I've heard Brent Vegan talk about he can kind of stretch the field in different ways. I almost can kind of envision him like a Christian Watson type role for us. I'm not saying he's that caliber, but that's how we might use him, is what I'm envisioning, if he starts. But yeah, so I think it's going to be Thomas, McCullough, and Alexander at the slot, which is crazy. They're moving Cleveland outside, little old Cleveland, and then they're doing the Willie Patterson thing where we got like 5'11 guy on the outside, and then they're bringing in a 6'1", 210-pound
slot receiver in the
long 6'3".
Was he 6'3"? Goodness.
Yeah.
And he was talking about like, I've never even played slot before. Like, well, why would you? Why would anybody put your size and your abilities in the slot? Is it crazy or is it genius? I don't know, man.
I think it's kind of genius because if we're running, we're running team, having that body out there blocking is something. He was smooth in the spring too. I like the way he moved, Junior Alexander. We didn't get to see Ty McCullough. That, from what we heard in the spring, he's the man. Like straight line speed, like fastest, like he just moves differently than everybody else on the team, is what I was told. But then we got guys behind him: Aiden Garrigan, Christian Naya, Ryan. We're not talking tight ends in yet. Taco Dowler will fit into this hopefully sometime. So,
yeah, worth noting. I like Dowler is hurt. If you somehow didn't know that and you're listening to this, Taco Dowler, assumingly he's going to be out for the entire year with a surgery.
Shoulder?
Yeah, I guess something shoulder like surgery. He would have been factoring into maybe potentially the slot or Ty McCullough's position or something. But and then, of course, Marquis Johnson moving back to wide receiver from running back, who I still think will get some carries. But I think it was either House Wright or Brent Vegan said, it'll be nice to give Marquis Johnson some carries because we want to, not because we have to. I thought that was a pretty good thing to say because he is quick, man. He's electric. He's going to be an amazing special teams player. You got to give him the ball, though, somehow.
He's my Swiss Army knife of the team.
You got to give him the ball, like whether it's end arounds or, you know, getting him in and getting pushing the defense and getting the deep ball to him. He's got to be involved, too. So
he needs like at least like 5 to 6 touches a game.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah.
So we got 4-5 receivers I feel pretty good about, even with Taco being hurt. Marquis Johnson being like number 4. And then I think Christian Anaya is going to be really good. He's making some highlight reels on, you know, on the social media. Sean Chambers threw a nice shoulder fade down the sideline, the patented Bobcat pass. And he dropped it right in, man. Good coverage. Great catch. Fell sideways, but keeping those feet in bounds. I've heard a lot of good things about him for the last couple of years, and I think he's going to be a guy. It may not be this year, but I think he'll get some playing time, and at the very least, he'll be ready to go if somebody else goes down. So I think we're good at wide receiver, man. I feel good about it. The only real question is, can they block? That's the weirdest question. Most important question you ask a Bobcat wide receiver, how good can they block? We've had some really good blocking wide receivers, man. Lance McCutcheon, yeah. Robbie Alston was a really good blocker last year.
Kevin Cassis.
Cassis was a great blocker. Those guys, like, they went at it. That's what they did. And even Travis Johnson was a really good blocker. Like,
yeah. So you have to buy in. You're not going to see the field if you're not willing to block. That's basically what it comes out to.
Yep. At Montana
Coach State, UD's going to yank you out of there. He's like, you're not willing to block. You're not on the field. So,
yep.
All right. Moving on to, let's just quickly cover tight end and fullback. A lot of conversation around them. Tight end is Trayton Pickering starting, from Sunburst.
All right, Greg Rack.
So there's a little bit difference. Like, so Trayton Pickering's more of a inline tight end where your Derek Snell feels more like a, you know, hybrid H-back kind of deal. So kind of two different personnel groups you can run with those players. So fullback, they got Derek Snell starting, but man, those two guys, we all know how I feel about the tight ends. Like that, those are my boys right there. I love watching tight ends. So can't wait to see those guys go out. Derek Snell, a senior. Trayton Pickering, a senior. We don't have many seniors. We're a really young team.
We are. Crazy.
Yeah. Ryan Lonergan spelling Trayton Pickering. He's a junior, 6'4", 243. Wow. Lonergan's already a junior. Wow.
I know. Then, he hasn't even like seen the field yet.
Some guy, Max Murphy. I'm not familiar with that. He's the backup fullback.
Butte kid?
6'2", 233.
Or is he a Billings West kid?
Like I said, I don't know him.
Well, I thought you were flipping through the page that they had the roster. I thought you were looking at the roster.
Not really. I was looking at my notes. So
okay. Why would you print out a roster? That'd be weird.
Too easy,
just transpose the whole thing instead. Dude,
I did.
I love watching Derek Snell. He is violent. I think he has the potential to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you need a blocking fullback or a blocking H-back or something, you got room in your offense for that. I think he has a shot. Just the way he goes about it.
He might be my favorite current Bobcat.
Yeah. There's always some like blocking guy in Montana State that just like becomes kind of your favorite. Like Curtis Amos is in that same vein. But he does a lot more than Curtis Amos. He has like a more offensive ability. Because Snell, like when he gets the ball, man, he has some moves.
Yeah.
He can make guys miss.
Fluid. Sneaky fluid.
He kind of reminds me a little bit, and I've never made this comparison until just now, like Trey Robinson.
Huh.
You remember Big Trey?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, not quite that. You know, he's not going to be a running back, and he's not as, I think Robinson was like 6'3", and I think what Snell's 6'1 on a good day. But he's just kind of got that versatility where he can block, he can catch it. And they lined up Snell a couple times at like Wildcat last year, while quarterback. So, you know, he can do some stuff, man. He's like he's a fun player. He's had a great career, and I hope he goes out, really has a really good senior year. I like my notes to say studs, no concerns here. Will we pass them a few more balls? That's my only notes about the tight ends. Looking at my notes.
Golly, man. They're there all the time. I don't know why we don't involve them in the pass game more often. That's an easy 5 yards. Like at minimum. So, anyways. All right. So there's the offense, man.
There
one
it
thing
is.
That stands out to me is, you know, take Tommy Mellott out of it. Who's your star?
I mean, Derek Snell.
Exactly. So like you're scratching your head. You're like, could be this. That's the thing about this Bobcat team. That narrative for me is a little bit like, we might not have the star power, but overall, I think this like cat group from top to bottom, and we'll talk about the defense later, is just better than what I've ever seen.
So what is it that Coulter Nuanez would say? He's like, the teams that are really good have like, if you look at them, they have like 5 to 6 guys that are first team, All-American type guys. Do we have that on the offense? I mean, obviously you split that in half or whatever, but who do we have on that, on the offense that you think like has a shot at the NFL? Maybe put it
as a shot at the NFL
or put it like make a camp or like get a look or, you know, something like that. First, like an All-American type guy. I think you got JT Reed.
Both of our tight ends.
I don't know about Pickering. I know you're super high on him, and I love him as a tight end, but I just don't think he's going to get any All-American type accolades.
6'4", 246. You don't think he gets a look at that?
I mean, 246 isn't huge in the NFL. If you're a receiving tight end, that's not bad. If you're like George Kittle's, I mean, he's not George Kittle. So I think Snell has a better chance at being like an All-American guy. I don't think Pickering will. And maybe I would say we probably have 3 offensive linemen I feel could be All-American guys.
Yeah.
Will they? Probably not. Could they have that talent and ability? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mellott, like you said, star power, and then wide receiver? Probably not. But when's a wide receiver ever going to be an All-American type guy at Montana State?
That's a really good point. I mean,
the best wide receiver we have in terms of like athletic ability was Travis Johnson. And that's why he stuck in the league for a couple years.
Yeah.
Like he was in the NFL for like 2 years. And he should have been in longer. Got himself in a little bit of trouble. And that was the end of his NFL career. But I think he's in the XFL now, actually. But yeah, it's just not going to be at Montana State. That's like a position people always want to talk about. Do you need a stud receiver? Well, you know, we're not going to have that necessarily, or at least they're not going to put up the numbers. So, I don't know. I think we have enough actual talent, top-level talent on the offense. There's not going to be a lot of accolades, maybe, just with the way that we play football. But I do think that talent is there, and the depth is certainly there.
It's going to be tough stopping our offense this year. I don't know how you're going to do it. Especially if the passing game improves. Good luck.
Yep. Yeah, if Mellott and Chambers are healthy, and they're throwing the ball better, and we're even more diverse, and we have a full complement of running backs, good luck. Like, I feel cocky talking like this, but I feel like this is the absolute truth. I do think Montana State was the best offense in the Big Sky last year. Idaho fans will argue with that, but I disagree, and I think that Montana State will be the best offense again. And statistically, in the only ones that matter, scoring points and really like getting yards. I mean, first downs and all that stuff. There's other stuff, but those are the two, the flash ones. Those are the two people look at, yards and points. And I think Montana State will lead both of those in total yards.
All right. Bold predictions. Ryan Thornburg.
Oh, man. Didn't have any. I wasn't prepared for a bold prediction. Why don't you give me yours while I think about it?
I didn't have a bold prediction.
We can't
put that on me, man.
Throwing that out there? I can't put that on you. You just put that on me.
No, you espoused yours, and I just named it for you. You came out with it.
Oh, okay.
And I said, that's a bold prediction.
I thought you were asking me for a bold prediction. Oh, my mistake then. Never mind. You don't have to give me a bold prediction.
All right. Hey, let's move on. Let's go to like some Golden Cooley questions, some fan-submitted stuff. Is there some good stuff?
All right. You hop over to Bobcat Nation. I'll hop on their Twitter, and then we'll go.
The X. All right.
X gonna give it to you.
We missed this one last episode. Rooting for the Cats. So we only got 3 posts on Bobcat Nation. New recruit. Which of any true freshmen do you see having an impact on this season? Well, we just talked running back. Scottrie Humphrey comes to mind. He might get some play time. We have a defensive back, Paldrell, and I can't remember his first name.
Oh, yeah. He's been... Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I wish I
could... Let me see if I can find him on the first.
We're so solidified in a lot of positions.
Andrew Paldrell from Woodlands, Texas.
Is he a corner?
Defensive back, 5'10", 164. He's been, Coach Vegan talked about him, that he might be able to be in the mix.
I do think there might still be some potential snaps open up for like defensive backs available.
Yeah.
We're so deep everywhere else. Like but we're young. So we have like all like sophomores and juniors everywhere that have been there for a couple years. And behind them are like juniors, seniors, and sophomores. Like it's hard to crack in. I mean, that's what you want a program to be. You don't want to have to be playing true freshmen. If you have a guy, a generational guy comes through and you can't keep him off the field, that's what you do. You don't have a guy come in and he starts because automatically he's the best guy on campus because everyone else is just like, nah. So that's what you want to be. So Scottrie Humphrey might play mainly because if we have any sort of injury problems at running back like we did last year, he will play.
Yeah, I've not seen any other freshmen that are popping out to me as far as names or... It's hard because like the lines, you just have to be physically developed. So, yep. You know, the defensive back makes sense that where you could step in if you just have like skills like Simeon Woodard did just that. But you're not looking at like a freshman defensive tackle, you know, that's going to make a splash. That just doesn't really happen. So, yeah. All right. Good question, though. Let's move on down the line. Assuming our defense is similar to last year, maybe a little bit better, does the passing game need to improve significantly to get us to the top? That's from our boy, Bleeding Blue. We talked about that. I think significantly, no. Does it need to improve? Yes. I think back to the South Dakota State game last year when we had, you know, when we needed to pass the ball, we had trouble doing so. Mild success, but yes, we need to have a more diverse pass game. Look at the balance, like South Dakota State. I know we kind of harp on them, but to me, Thorny, they're the model right now. Like you have to be able to run the ball at an elite level, but also have a quarterback or a system, a passing game that you know you can rely on as well. You need to have that balance and. I think Jeff Choate gave us that run first mentality, and I think we've maxed that out. Like, I don't think we can get any better in our running game than we already are.
I mean, that's
true. We might be get slightly better because we can get slightly stronger on the lines, but it's still going to come down to something weird like it did, like that 30 below when howling, whatever it is, right? And something gets taken away. You can't run outside zone anymore because the footing sucks. Well, what do? You have to have something else. And that's where the passing game comes in. Does it have to be significant Bleeding Blue? I don't think so. I think it does need to be marginally better.
I agree 100% with that. I mean, we did cover that a little bit. So good question, though. I mean, we talked about it because it's an important thing to talk about.
Sure. Cat Attack says, I posted this in a different thread, but has there ever been a collection of playmakers this deep and talented on any Bobcat offense ever? What do you think, Thorny?
That's hard. Let's think back on some elite teams that had really good at every position. Like Lule never really had a good running back.
Ryan Johnson.
I mean, yeah, I guess that 1 year. So you had Lule, Ryan Johnson, and Junior Adams.
Junior Adams was not he was a receiver, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the collection of talent offensively. Then you had Denarius McGee, Cody Kirk, was it Elvis Akpla?
Yeah.
Tanner Bleskin, and then Tia Salanoa. Okay, now thinking back on that, like that was a pretty good offensive skill set right there. I know I'm missing somebody too. We had some really good receivers. We had some good running backs because I think we had Cody Kirk and Demetrius Crawford at the same time, didn't we? Or Renzo Davis. It was a Renzo Davis.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they overlapped. I think of the Prukop era too. So Prukop, Sean Johnson, Gunnar Brecky, Chad Newell. Who's our receivers during the Prukop era?
Mitch Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Herbert.
Little Herbert. Who else? We're missing somebody big here. It's driving me crazy. I mean, we had like Brian Flotketter. We had some really talented guys too there. That was pretty elite. Yeah, the Prukop era, when we're scoring 60, 70 points a game, a lot of that was the offense we ran, but a lot of it's because we had a lot of talented dudes. But I would say that this has the potential to be up there, but the running back room needs to kind of really break out a little bit for that conversation, I guess.
Dude, you know, I haven't seen McCullough play. Ty McCullough could be that dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this has the potential to be the best. I think overall, just like overall talent is buoyed. So we might not have the star power, but yes, I do think this is the most talented Bobcat offense. Oh gosh, I just said it now. I don't know. I feel like I want to take it back. That Denarius McGee offense with Akpla and Cody Kirk and Tanner Bleskin, that's a tough one to beat, man. That was a really good offense. That was some really standout Bobcats on that team.
Yeah.
This would be a good question for Bill Lamberty. He's such a historian of Bobcat athletics. I wish he was here to answer this one. That's a good one. Catch back. All right, going on. Which records will be broken this season? I have one. I actually asked you about this when you came over to my house. The question was, who has the most kickoff returns for a touchdown in a season? And you replied,
that was Sean Johnson.
So the second question was, Thorny, that I asked you was how many kickoff returns did Sean Johnson have in his career?
Two.
And you were correct on both. I think that's going to go down this year. I think Marquis Johnson is going to take, you would have to take three to break that. So
yeah,
more than two.
Yeah,
that wasn't a career. That wasn't a career. That wasn't a season. That was a career stat. So I think Marquis Johnson's going to break.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of that. We haven't had a lot of guys who consistently return touchdowns from a kick return.
Corey Smith also was tied with Sean Johnson.
Yeah, I was going to say Corey Smith was your guy. Crawford was pretty good at it too, but he was only here for like what, 1 or 2 years. So, I think Marquis Johnson has a chance to break that record for sure.
Gilbert got a ton of yards, but he couldn't take it to the house.
No, just didn't quite have that fifth gear, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
As for any other records, man, nothing just sticks out as something. I'd have to look at the record book. I wasn't prepared to answer that one, really.
Okay.
There's always the yards per carry record. Like, that one's always in jeopardy with what we do.
let's see. Yeah. So I don't think touchdowns is going to be broken because you're not going to have, like you said, like a bell cow, like Troy Anderson back there this year.
Yeah, maybe. We scored a lot of touchdowns last year.
But by the same person?
No, Yeah. I was also thinking like team touchdown, team records, not just personal records.
All right. Let's see. Allcat says, with the proliferation of the offense and the limited chances at punting, do we develop plays on fourth down for the punting team to make plays and not actually punt? Dang, that's a good question.
I don't know. That is a really good question. Yes.
I mean, that's very forward thinking. I could see Housewright being that guy who would think like that. So why not?
Yes, I actually, I could totally see that. I could see that being a thing that happens. Why not?
Why not? We have a 6'9 punter. The debate is, does it take him longer to punt because he's that tall? Because
he has to drop the ball so much further. maybe minuscule.
All right. The last one. No, there's a couple more. The mixer has a long one. Okay. He says, I'm just paraphrase. Last year's Cats ran 69% of the time and passed 31% of the time. My question is, over under the 2023 Cats run 65% of the time. So last year we ran 69% of the time. Do you think it's over, under, we run 65% of the time?
Over.
I'm going to go under. I think we're going to have more like a 60-40 kind of a split.
What do you think we're going to drop? From 66 to 60?
And we would drop from 69 to 60.
Oh, 69 to 60, yeah. No, I don't think we're going to drop that much. I'm thinking like 69 to like 66 or 65.5. But over 65. I think it's going to be real close to 65. I think that's a pretty good number.
All right. Joe Catch Joe says, which player leads the team in carries this year?
Does that include quarterbacks? Because Tommy Molot's my answer.
Good one. Let's take Tommy out of this.
Well, then I'm thinking if healthy, Lane Sumner.
I'm kind of interested in this Julius Davis guy. So
okay, I'm gonna change my answer. I'm gonna have two answers. If healthy, Lane Sumner, but most likely Elijah Elliott because he is Mr. Yeah. Iron Man.
Yep, there it is. Good one. Bobcat 1963, another new poster. Sacramento State Hornet Stadium has a capacity of 21,195. Will our national televised ESPN2 game with them on Saturday, October 21st, with a local start time of 7:30 p.m. be sold out? Is it going to be sold out? A record of 23,237 fans packed the Hornets Stadium for the 2022 Causeway Classic. If our game with them does sell out this fall, what percentage of the fans will have their stingers up at the end of the game? I don't think it's going to be sold out. No, probably like 15,000 people will be there. Are they going to have their stingers up at the end of the game? Heck no.
No.
Stingers down.
Stingers way down.
Stingers way down.
I think it has the potential for being a pretty close to a sellout if and only if the Hornets are really good heading into that game.
Yes.
If they're still like a top five, top seven ranking, then all of a sudden you get like a 7-3 ranking or 7-4 or 7-5, depending on if Montana State beats South Dakota State and all that stuff. But it'll likely be a top seven matchup. And I think that in an ESPN game, which I don't think there's been a whole lot of those in Sacramento, like an actual linear, not ESPN Plus playoff game, I think it has the potential. I don't think it will. But I could see it pushing 18, 19,000 and probably 2,000 or 3,000 of those being Bobcat fans. I think Bobcat fans like to overestimate how many Bobcat fans actually travel.
Now, wait a second. So they get another ESPN game in their stadium. So they got one last year with the Grizz, and now they have another one.
Was that last year in Sacramento?
Yeah. Remember the whole debacle? Was he in? Was he
out? Yeah. I just didn't know that was on ESPN.
Yeah. That was their ESPN game. Man. Okay. Lucky them. Look at that. All right. Well, I think that's all on Bobcat Nation. Good stuff. from the guys. There's a lot of good questions. I don't know who I'm going to pick. Read the Cooley questions from Twitter or X.
Yes. Stop calling it Twitter. It's dead, man. It's like you even care. You're not even there anymore.
What's it like? I hear it's crazy. Is it crazy?
It's the same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Okay. So crazy.
There was 15,927 fans for the Grizz Sac State showdown last year. So
I said about 15,000.
Yep. So you're probably right. Even on ESPN2, 8 p.m. Hornet Stadium, October 22nd. So nice weather. Down. Still couldn't even manage 16,000 fans at the game. So probably no different than this year. All right. Our buddy Alec Nice. How would you feel about continuing the age-old Montana State tradition of flip-flopping QB based on situation, i.e. Rovig to throw, Johnson to run, or would you rather see the offense go all in on a QB, whether that was Tommy or Sean?
Man, if you would have asked me this last year, my answer would have been diametrically opposite of what I would say right now, and that is no. I like what we do with the dual quarterback system. I think it works. It works for us, at least. I think it's forward thinking. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more teams that actually implement it. Last year, I was like, let's go all in on Tommy Mellott, all in on whoever, right? Nope. I'm down with the dual QB. Works for me.
I am 100% on board. And like I said, I want more quarterbacks out there. So, yes, I love just the both of them in, not situational, just kind of like using them both as weapons. It's not even situational. It's just like they're both weapons that they can use based on the play and down and distance and stuff. So maybe it is a little bit situational, but whatever. It doesn't need to be one guy being the man. I think we've kind of come around to that here on the podcast. It's working, man. We've only lost a handful of games since Brent Vegan took over. It's kind of hard to argue with how it's been working out. We saw kind of what happened with the one quarterback system, and if it wasn't really the dude, Matt McKay, and it just kind of, you know, it worked. It worked enough until it didn't work. And there was nothing else to fall back on if McKay was struggling.
Yeah, Matt McKay was just really mediocre when it comes down to it, though.
I don't know. He's getting some NFL looks. That's a topic for another discussion. Anyway, I think we both agree on this question. Keep rotating. Brendan Henshaw on Twitter, who do you think will lead the team in each major stat category? So that's kind of a big question. So I'll run it down. Let's do this. Offense or quarterback, who's throwing for more yards, Tommy or Sean?
Tommy.
I think it's Tommy. Who's rushing for the most yards on the team? Who has the most rushing yards?
Tommy.
I think it's Tommy too. All right.
I don't want it to be, but I think it will be.
Who is going to have the most receptions? That's a harder one.
It's either going to be Cleveland or Junior.
I think it's going to be Cleveland Thomas. And I think I'm going to answer the next question. Who has the most yards? I think it might be Ty McCullough.
Yeah. He's going to be the home run guy.
Yeah, he's going to be like, yo, he's going to average like 30 yards a catch. Mm-hmm. He's going to be that guy. So I don't think the guy who catches the most is going to be the guy who has the most yards. Who has the most rushing touchdowns?
Elijah Elliott.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to agree. I will say Elijah Elliott too.
If they don't pull him, they would milk him through they would put him in 90 yards on that field, and then 10 yards out, Tommy would pull it down.
What am Chambers. I talking about? Yeah, Chambers. Chambers is the answer here because Chambers is the goal line guy.
Yeah, you're right.
He's the guy Chambers. You want on your fantasy team because he's scoring anytime the ball's within the 10-yard line. It's Sean Chambers time. So, yeah. That, Chambers. We came around to that. That's the correct answer because he basically did. He was leading the FCS last year in touchdowns. And he was for like three games after he stopped playing too. Like it took a long time for someone to catch up with him, even if he wasn't even playing. What are stat categories can we talk about here on offense anyway?
Most receiving yards, we talked about that. Ty McCullough.
Did we talk about carries and rushing yards? We did, right? Those are both Tommy.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I don't know any other major stat category I can think of for offense.
Yeah, we're too lazy to look up.
Who has the most pancakes? I don't even think the Big Sky Conference keeps tracks of pancakes, do they? I don't think we have
really
that.
Really had me thinking about the food, actually, there for a moment. It's like, what are we talking about pancakes?
Nah, yeah. Man. Blocking. Who's leveling the most?
Stats.
I don't think that's a stat. I mean, it's a stat, but it's not one we keep track of in the FCS or Big Sky Conference anyway. That's more advanced analytical stuff, NFL stuff.
All right. Good question.
Who do you think will emerge as a number one wide receiver? This is Lenny on Twitter.
Tough, man.
Lee, man. I'm all aboard Thomas Train. Thomas Train. Is it?
That's the answer I want to put in my head, but I'm going with the guy I haven't seen, Ty McCullough.
I just like the way
Have you seen that right? Is it McCullough?
I think it's McCullough, but I could be wrong. I think, dang it. I mean, I haven't really heard too many people say it. It's like the time in the preseason where, you know, we're still like learning here, sure. Especially for a guy we haven't seen play. Is it a GH? And if it's a CH, is it still pronounced? All right.
Help us out. All right.
This is great podcasting. It is CH at the end, but it might still be pronounced McCullough. I don't know. Anyway, we'll figure that out before the season starts. Sorry, Ty. But I just like the way Cleveland really came on at the South Dakota State game. I think he really had a solid like second half or last few games of the year. And I think kind of got a little chemistry going with Tommy. So I think he'll be the guy. I think it'll be Willie Patterson from last year.
Yeah, he's a replacement for Willie, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, same role. All right.
Last question. Brendan Ireton, sorry if I mispronounced your name as well, asked us, what is the QB split going to look like?
I think it's the same thing as you see last year. Depends, though, because last year it was like that unique thing where Tommy was hurt, so Sean was playing.
And yeah.
Sean was hurt, so Tommy's playing.
I mean, the question is in a perfect world, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we were told last year, you know, Tommy's going to work through the mid part, and then when we get into the red zone, Sean Chambers can come in and just drive it in. And that was true. I wasn't a fan of it right away. I was like, that's too predictable. They're going to stop it. Nobody stopped it. So I don't know, man. I think it's going to be 70-30 Tommy Sean.
Okay. I think it's going to be 60-35-5. Reed. Reed's going to get 5%.
All right.
It's going to be Tommy 60. Yeah, 35 for Sean.
Okay. Hey, I wrote some buyer sells. So I'm going to ask those before we get out of here.
Last thing before we're done here.
Okay. Buy or sell Thorny, first touchdown will be a pass play.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, I think we're going to blow the top off of Utah Tech and it's just going to be a bomb.
Yes.
So, yes, I will buy that.
Good.
Welcome to Bobcat Nation, Ty. All right. Ooh, this is a good one. Buy or sell Thorny, four different quarterbacks will play against Utah Tech.
Four? I'll buy it.
Yes, sir. I'm buying that too. I think it's going to be exactly four.
I don't think we have
all five in, man. That'd be crazy.
Who's the fifth?
We have this Duchesne kid. That's a redshirt freshman. I don't think he'll ever see the field. I think he's going to practice squad kind of guy. Okay. All right. Buy or sell, we will have a special teams touchdown against Utah Tech.
Jeez, we're picking on Utah Tech here. I'll buy it.
Special teams touchdown. Wow, man. All right. Last one. Given the heat that's been going around over here in Spokane the last couple of days, this was on my mind. Buy or sell, 100-degree day is better than a negative 30 degree day.
Sell.
You'd rather have the cold?
I'd rather have the cold.
Gosh, man, we were in line on all of them. Yeah, I'd rather have that.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with the cold. I mean, Montana, you get both, but I don't know. I like cold better. I mean, it's probably more dangerous. Much more likely to die.
Yeah.
Negative 30.
Minus 30. Minus 30 is no joke for yeah. sure.
If you get caught outside in a snowstorm, you can't get inside, or you're out in the woods or something stupid like that, you got some big problems. But I don't know. I'll take the cold. It's all not right. So bad. Stings the nostrils. Stings the lungs. All right. We got to pick a winner. We've been doing this lately where we ask a whole bunch of Golden Cooley questions don't pick any winners. We were really good about that for about four seasons of this show, and then we're just kind of slipping.
Okay.
I think it's because it's so saturated.
Did anyone stand out to you?
No.
Thanks. Let's see here. Who's that new guy that's been Joe Catch Joe? What do you ask? There's one there. It's good podcasting right now.
That's all we do, man.
Which player leads the team in carries this year? That's not a good question. It's
what was the do the Sac State one? Why not? That was fun.
Okay, who was that? That was, hey, that's a new poster too. Bobcat 1963. Woo!
Bobcat 1963.
Golden Cooley.
Yes. Enjoy. Reach out to us. We'll reach out to you on Bobcat Nation. We'll get your deets, and Mr. Foley will send you the goods. The good.
Hey, Loggercat still hasn't reached out to me, so get at that, Loggercat. You were a winner last week.
Did we reach out to him on Twitter or on Bobcat Nation?
No. Well, I figured he might have listened and, hey, I won.
Yeah. Is that our litmus test to see if anyone actually listens to this after they ask a question?
Well, I mean, if you're not, then why should I send you a
coolie? Must be present to win, basically, is what we're saying here. Must listen to actually win your coolie. Okay. Well, that was a fun episode. That was it was good to get back into the flow. We're a little bit rusty here as we get back in the season. We took a lot of breaks this year in the off season, but it's good to be back on the mic. Is there anything else you want to say on this bad boy, Foley?
Stingers down.
Mm-hmm.
Go Cats, go.
Go Cats, go. All right. Well, I'll do my normal outro here. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're new to the show, you can always find us on rrcatcast.com, on X. Oh, I hate that. Rrcatcast. We're not really on Instagram or Facebook anymore, so we have accounts there. They're kind of dead. X is where it's at. Bobcat Nation is where it's at. We have recurring threads on there. And if you didn't know, I am Celtic Cat. He is Common Cat. So many C's. We're so similar. We're basically the same person. Or you can shoot us an email, rrcatcast@gmail.com. So thanks again, everybody. And go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.